Insurance. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our radio.com station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score! Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Hockey Update Studio, I'm Joe Ostrowski. With three first-round and three second-round draft choices, the Wolves are positioned to be the last team standing. The Wolves host arch-rival Milwaukee Sunday at 3 at Allstate Arena. First 1,000 fans receive a free GameWorks gift card. Bulls head coach Fred Hoiberg has 2 years left on his deal. Team president Michael Reinsdorf appeared on the Mully and Haw Show, and the guys discussed how to evaluate Hoiberg this season.
We need to see a lot of good things from a lot of different players, so hopefully he doesn't feel the pressure on the wins and losses, and that's one thing we've tried to communicate to him, that's not how you're judged. You're judged about in terms of the development of the player. So I think we're in good position. I think Fred's in good position to succeed.
The full interview with Reinsdorf is on 670thescore.com. Bowl season opener tomorrow night. To football, Matt Nagy and Mitchell Trubisky will speak to the media before Bears practice. In Buffalo, Derek Anderson signed 8 days ago, and he's going to start under center against the Colts on Sunday. Baseball, Milwaukee and LA are tied 2-2. They play this afternoon after the second longest game in NLCS history. Clayton Kershaw for the Dodgers, Wade Miley for the Brewers. And in the ALCS, Boston will try to take a 3-1 lead over Houston tonight. This update was brought to you by the Backyard Barbecue Store, your big green egg superstore that offers everything you need for barbecuing. And Fantasy Football Today on the Score is sponsored by Great Clips. Your team does better when you look better. Get a new haircut now at Great Clips. I'm Joe Ostrowski, and you're listening to Chicago's number one ranked and most listened to sports radio station, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com station.
This hour is brought to you by Grandview Homes. Grandview will buy your home today. Go to grandviewhomes.com.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
Joe's status remains unchanged. He's the manager of this team, and I'm very happy about that. I know there was a sort of high-profile report this morning that was not accurate. I know that, I didn't read the whole thing, but I saw in there that, there were some claims that he and I had personal friction. Not true at all. We have a terrific working relationship.
Middays on the Score.
That was Theo Epstein in his end of season postmortem press conference talking about the future of the Cubs managerial job, and it's that one more year that remains on Joe Maddon's contract that is going to be fulfilled. Here to talk a little bit about the future is Alan Nero, the agent for Joe Maddon, a longtime veteran sports agent joining us now on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Hi, Alan, how are you?
I'm doing great. Is this Dan or Connor?
I'm Dan. He's Connor.
Connor here.
Oh, hi, Connor. Hi, Dan.
Hi.
We wanted to talk with you, considering some of the comments that got made in the Chicago Tribune just a little while ago. Let's start with the reports surrounding your client, Joe Maddon. I wonder, Alan, wouldn't it be fair to wonder about a coach and his relationship with an organization just on the basis of the coaches around him changing over as often as they have?
No, I don't think so. I mean, those decisions are made rationally. You've got a front office that's, considered, one of the best in the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, between Theo and Jed and Jason, you couldn't have a smarter brain thrust. And all these decisions are made with Joe being part of it. So I don't understand why that would be such a monumental concern.
You dismissed the tea leaves that were being read by Ken Rosenthal and others looking at some of the comments that were made about the handling of Pedro Strop or Brandon Morrow or the comments regarding Addison Russell. And you said, the reality is Joe's not upset. There's nothing going on. When you say there's nothing going on, what are the extent of your discussions with that brain trust about an extension? Have you reached out? Has there been a question of, hey, when are we going to talk about this? What is the actual status of any talks?
Well, first of all, none of this has come from Joe or Theo. This has all come from the media. It's all all hype and fabrication. Joe has a contract. He never was concerned about an extension. He's not worried about it. He lets me handle it. You know, Theo and Jason and Jed have a lot of decisions to make that, you know, for players that are not on the contract. This will all happen in due time. There'll be several venues where it'll be appropriate for us to sit and talk about it, such as the GM meetings, which will be held in November, and the winter meetings, which will be held in December. There's no sense of urgency. Joe and Theo have a great relationship. They're going to continue to try to make the decisions that are going to make this team better. And there's no sense of urgency on our part. And so this is all coming from the media. It's not coming from Joe or Theo. This will all happen in due course.
So, when Paul Sullivan calls, you know, why now be public with these feelings? Why now come join us? Is there a reason why you're feeling more, you know, freer to share your feelings about what's happening regarding Joe?
Well, this all happened because Ken Rosenstein wrote an article that said that there was a problem. Theo had a press conference, said that's absolutely false. It's not true. I met with Theo prior to that without even knowing that Ken was going to write that article. There was no rift. There was no problem. Everything was very positive. It was all due course. Theo and Joe will continue to dialogue about what has to be done for next year. Jed and Jason will contribute to, activating those changes. They've got a lot of decisions to make. So this is all coming from you. This is not coming from Joe or Theo or me.
Alan, let me ask you a question about just sort of your...
I mean, why do you have me on the phone right now? Because of all this hype, you know? I mean, it's not something that came from, either Theo's camp or my camp.
Then why not have already had conversations about an extension based on what we know about precedent and major league managers? I think the reason why it's being discussed is because, look, you know, you understand why it's being discussed. This is it's a major market. It's probably the most famous non-player and influential non-player in baseball who's won a World Series. For him to be allowed to go into the final year of a contract is newsworthy, is it not?
Well, yeah, but it hasn't happened yet. I mean, what's the big deal? This will all be settled in the next few months, and we'll be having a different conversation.
Settled how?
One way or the other. I mean, you know, to me, I don't think there's an issue. I think Theo and Joe will sit down and we'll get in there and we'll do what has to be done to get an extension. But this is not coming from us. It's coming from you. And every day that it doesn't happen, you know, one of your brethren is going to bring it up.
Well, this is part of the reason why teams generally don't let successful managers into the final year of a deal, is for that reason, that the speculation can be warranted until the extension exists.
Well, this is 2018. We're talking about 2019. He's under contract. We still have, in my mind, we still have November and December before this year is over, and let's let things take their due course.
Alan, I'm wondering, a little bit off topic here, I guess, but, you know, Joe was a regular guest on our show all last season, and we loved talking baseball with him. One of the storylines that came up, though, throughout the course of the Cubs season was Addison Russell and his subsequent suspension by Major League Baseball. As an agent, do you feel, you know, given the stories that are in the media, given the fact that Major League Baseball has a revamped domestic violence policy, do you feel as though it's part of your job or your agency's job to talk with clients about how to deal with talking about these stories, how to deal with talk about these issues within their players? Because personally, I had a bit of an issue with how Joe dealt with the thing, and it seemed as though Theo might have as well. And I'm just wondering if that's part of, if you see that now as part of your job in kind of a new climate.
Well, first of all, part of my job as an agent is to handle the business and personal lives of our clients.
Mm-hmm.
Joe's job is to basically manage the baseball club. And, you know, the way the questions were asked of him during that pregame press conference, I think were a bit unfair. You're asking two different questions. Is it my responsibility? Yes. Is it Joe's responsibility to manage the personal life of all the players? To a degree, I don't think that it is. Just my own opinion.
I don't think it's to manage the personal lives of the players, but to, when we heard how much it seemed to matter to Theo, where the Cubs are in this day and age with understanding how to talk about such things as domestic violence and how much it mattered to him. When you counsel your clients in general, has the current climate, the level of understanding and sensitivity changed what is deemed appropriate in what is said in public and how these responses are crafted?
Absolutely.
So had you discussed that with Joe?
No, not prior to that interview.
But subsequently?
Yeah, and I think Joe just felt it was unfair that he was being, you know, grilled, you know, at that moment. And also, you know, all of the, you know, it was turned over to the commissioner's office, and, you know, the accurate information, you know, had not yet been deemed public. So Joe was really, you know, not up to date, nor was it his responsibility. It was the commissioner's office that was handling the investigation and the front office. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, this is like, you know, everybody's asking Trump, you know, how he's going to handle the sorties before he ends up with all the information.
Rightly or wrongly, though, don't you kind of see that these types of questions, whether you want to turn those grilling or just inquisitive minds want to know, you feel like that those questions are going to come, whether it's for another issue that's going to pop up like this with a different client or what have you. I mean, these questions are going to be asked this way, it seems, of these issues.
Right. Well, the real question that you asked is, did this create a rift between Theo and Joe? And the answer is no.
And you know that from Theo or from Joe?
Yes,
or both?
Both.
You mentioned November and December as the upcoming months when things could happen. Does that mean you pick up the phone and call Theo, or do you expect the Cubs to contact you and begin a conversation in that timetable?
I think when the time is right, whether the contact comes from me or Theo, it'll happen. There's going to be lots and lots of opportunity for us to do business on other fronts. You know, such as the free agent market and such, and it'll happen, you know, when it's supposed to happen.
I guess the interpretation from either side of supposed to happen, I guess, can be fluid here. And you mentioned do what it takes to get an extension. Is there, so there will be then an active effort on your part, on your side of the table, to get an extension?
When the time is right, absolutely.
Alan, another piece that kind of had Joe Maddon in it some, and I don't know that this was all that well reported, much as it was just kind of speculation, but there was a piece about Joe being one of the three highest paid managers in baseball about halfway through the season. And in it, it said that the way teams negotiate with or deal with or employ managers has changed over the years. Do you feel that's the case? Are managers dealt with differently than perhaps they used to be 10, 15 years ago by front offices, employed and contracted differently?
Well, first and foremost, you know, everything in life goes through cycles and changes.
Sure.
Okay? And so when I first started representing managers, which was about 20 years ago, managers were not making hardly any money, and basically they basically were given take it or leave it opportunities, and the really great managers had a lot of power, and they actually quit jobs to move from team to team. And it finally got to a point where the successful managers, and some of my early clients were Davey Johnson and Lou Piniella and Art Howe. It finally got to a point where they were getting meaningful extensions. And before you know it, the managers were making a lot of money, and the GMs, the veteran GMs, were not making as much. So, you know, you had veteran, old school GMs, and they managed the front office, and the managers basically were not told what to do, and there was not a lot of interaction, regarding the GMs and the managers. Now, in today's world, we have a sport that is governed more by analytics, and the dialogue between the GMs and the managers has gotten to a point where it's critical. You can see some of the very successful young managers like Alex Cora and Dave Roberts, and the extensive dialogue between the front office and them. And so the jobs have changed, and now all of a sudden these young managers that are rookies and are in their first and second years, they're making very little money, and the GMs that have elevated themselves to, you know, very high level because of the way the game is being approached intellectually and analytically, the GMs are making significantly more. Now that'll go through cycles, and when somebody like Alex Cora basically gets through his second year, he'll get an extension that'll be much more significant, and these young guys are going to have to prove themselves. But everything's in cycles. So to answer your question, yes, but that too will change, and it'll change appropriately and for the right reasons based on these young and experienced managers when they start having success and they start gain tenure.
We are talking with agent Alan Nero, who represents Joe Maddon. And rather than deal with speculation or just trying to put things together, I want to deal with what Theo Epstein said specifically about this past season, about what he wants going forward. He didn't mention Joe's name, but he talked about intensity. He talked at length about how the games in April matter just as much as the games late, that getting that sweep, finishing off a Sunday is important later on. And I was wondering at the time as he said it, how that is going to reconcile with Joe's style, because we know Joe now and we know that he's a glass half full guy. And he's very supportive and say, you know what, maybe you lost on Sunday, but he talks about meatloaf, you know, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. And he's always saying that things are pretty good and saying, oh, we had a 5-2 road trip. What Theo's saying was make it a 6-1 road trip, make it a 7-0 road trip. Is this, how do you see these forces working going forward if Theo wants more intensity and get everything done and Joe's generally a little more laid back than that?
Well, yeah, I think your assessment has some validity to it. But Joe and Theo are not going to have a lot of problem being on the same page. And Joe's very smart, and Theo's very smart. And I don't think that Joe's going to disagree with Theo on very much. So I think we need to let them let them do their jobs, and let's sit back and enjoy it. But I think Joe's going to be very open to anything that will make them better.
Alan, as we let you go, would you say right now you would characterize yourself as optimistic that you would expect an extension to be done before next season begins?
I'm optimistic that it's going to happen, but I'm not sure when it will happen. It's going to depend an awful lot on all of the other things that are on Theo's plate prior to we sit down and have some discussions, but I am optimistic.
And would you be willing to continue negotiations into the season?
I'm willing to do whatever is best for Joe. We'll see. But once again, you know, all of this is coming from the media. It's not coming from Joe. Joe's not putting pressure on me. He's not putting pressure on the Cubs. Joe is very confident. He's very secure. And things will happen for the right reasons when they need to happen.
Fair enough. Alan, thank you very much for your
time.
Thank you. Take care.
That is Alan Nero, the agent for Joe Maddon. This segment brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. Another year stuck paying your timeshare's annual maintenance fees. If your timeshare is no longer working for you and you need out, call Timeshare Exit Team, 844-915-EXIT, 844-915-EXIT, or visit timeshareexitteam.com.
Okay. Confident it is.
Okay. It just, and I know there's a lot of media bashing, but you've got a powerful manager for a good team in its championship window being allowed to go into the final year of a deal. That's news.
It doesn't happen often. It just doesn't. It doesn't happen all that often. And to say that a guy like that, or any guy in that position, is that comfortable with being in a spot like that, it's rare. So that's why we called, and I'm glad Alan picked up.
All right, what do you think? 312-644-6767. We have Hub Arkes joining us at noon. Between now and then, when I reacted, there's some good stuff in there. So we'll see what that meant. I'm processing it as we speak.
Yeah, kind of marinating a little bit. We'll do that next on The Score.
Danny Mac here from the McNeil and Parkin Show, afternoons 1 to 6. Next up for the 3-2 Bears? Thank goodness it's only Brady and the Patriots. Enough of Brock Osweiler already. We'll find out if the Bears are real. We're covering it right up until kick. Keep it right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's home for Bears fans.
This is John Feinstein with the CBS Sports Minute, brought to you by Ferguson. With locations coast to coast, Ferguson gives small business contractors the edge. The Dallas Cowboys play in Washington this coming Sunday. That means it is Dallas Week in capital letters in Washington. In Dallas, it's week 7 of the NFL season and an important divisional game. Washington has been obsessed with the Cowboys since George Allen coached there in the early 1970s and made every game against the Cowboys into a crusade. That was in the early days of America's team. And Washington's team, especially under Joe Gibbs, became a worthy opponent, winning 3 Super Bowls in 10 years. Now, neither franchise has mattered much in the last 20 years. The Cowboys last won a Super Bowl in 1996, Washington in 1992. Both have been damaged by owners with supersized egos and spent a lot of time reliving their glorious pasts. Sunday will matter in Dallas and will be an obsession in D.C. To the rest of the country, not so much. I'm John Feinstein.
Guys, if you're still wearing the same underwear style you did in high school, you're missing out on serious comfort from new styles and fabrics. Time to check out Cool Clothes Men's Underwear. Cool Clothes Undies are made from breathable modern fabrics, bamboo silk, modal, milk silk, that are luxurious on your skin and easy on your wallet. Cool Clothes is all about affordable luxury, especially now with their buy three, get one free offer. While supplies last, shop Cool Clothes now at briefbuy.com. That's briefbuy.com. Briefbuy.com is a Chicago Land Company.
Dan Bernstein here. Seasons are changing in Chicago, so whether it's pipes bursting, basements flooding from old plumbing, or leaking AC units, if flood disaster strikes, do what I did. Contact Aloha Restoration to get your home bone dry in no time. Unlike other restoration services, Aloha is full service. They restored my home to pre-disaster condition. They were there with me from start to finish, and I needed them. Aloha Restoration is a proud part of the Lake County community and honorable mention winners of the Better Business Bureau 2017 Torch Award for Ethics. Aloha repairs all damage from mold and fire and water in Barrington, Schaumburg, Mundelein, Gurney, Grays Lake, and all of Lake County. Visit AlohaRestores.com.
1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Donate your car today. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Donate your car today.
To learn more about our programs and to donate, visit us online at carsforkids.com. Remember, that's cars with a K. Pickup is quick and easy. You'll also get a vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Donate your car today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
What if every time you went out, you could cash in? Now with the Capital One Saver Card, you earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, like celebrating every year the crew gets older. Or when you and your crew are courtside during overtime. No matter your reason for going out, now you have 4 more. Introducing the new Saver Card from Capital One. Earn 4% on dining and 4% on entertainment. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Capital One Bank, USANA.
Do you know how old your water heater is? Most water heaters only last about 10 years, and 70% of all water heaters get replaced in an emergency. That's not exactly convenient. What is convenient is that the Home Depot has the most advanced Rheem water heaters with the latest technology. If yours is about 10 years old, it's time for an upgrade. And time to get a Rheem water heater, peace of mind included. Now that's convenient. Only from the Home Depot. More saving, more doing.
State Farm, this is Bill.
It finally got me, Bill.
What's that, Rick?
The Clark Street crater, the mother of all potholes.
Oh.
Yeah, year after rim-wrecking year, it's tormented the people of this town. They try to fill it, but it always returns. It got me good.
But you know, State Farm's got you too.
You hear that? You ain't nothing!
You trash-talking a pothole?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Go with the one that's here to help life go right. State Farm. Talk to an agent today.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670. Bernstein and McKnight. Middays, 9 a.m. to 1.
Give my creation life! No, it's dead. It's not alive anymore. The Cubs season is no more. And it, like you say, it always feels like, wait, it's over. That's it. That's all. But you kind of felt it. This thing, they were leaking oil for a month.
It felt abrupt.
After 4 or 5 weeks of not hitting, it felt abrupt after the longest elimination game in baseball's history. It felt abrupt after 4 hours and 55 minutes, and that's just kind of the season the Cubs had put together. 2 runs, 9 hits over the last 22 innings.
In a quarter of their games this year, they scored 1 run or no runs.
That's not enough.
It's not enough. It's really not the mark of a team that you would expect to win a World Series.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays, 9 a.m. to 1. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
We are delighted to welcome in Jim Hickey, the Cubs pitching coach. You know, a difficult end of the season.
You know, Jim, Theo was great, and he removed any doubts, and he confirmed that Joe actually was coming back next year. Number one, was there ever question in your mind that Joe would come back next year? And can you remove any questions surrounding your own future? Are you definitely coming back in 2019?
Thought he did a tremendous job, actually, a great job. He was very, very forthright. Right, and the fact that Joe's job was ever in question, I actually don't think Joe's job was ever in question. The fact that it was out there, you know, in the media and, you know, with the talking heads, I think was just something to talk about. It really was. I don't think that was ever a question. And as far as if I will be back, that's not for me to say. I hope so.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Away from the office. About all that's small really is the price.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6.
Allen Robinson, what do you need improvement on?
It is at the same time, you know, I think each and every week I've gotten better. That's what I wanted to do, you know, in certain areas, you know, like at the line of scrimmage and stuff like that, you know, but you can always improve your route running, you know, create more separation and things like that.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Who is 670 The Score? We're Chicago's original sports talk station. Chicago's only all-Chicago sports talk station. Covering all of Chicago's teams. And when breaking Chicago sports news happens, we'll break in with all the details. Guaranteed. Keep streaming The Score to your computer or device for the best sports talk in Chicago. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Bottled by Phillips Products Company, Princeton, Minnesota, USA.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Would you say right now you would characterize yourself as optimistic that you would expect an extension to be done before next season begins?
I'm optimistic that it's going to happen, but I'm not sure when it will happen. It's going to depend an awful lot on all of the other things that are on Theo's plate. Prior to we sit down and have some discussions. But I am optimistic.
Okay. I think it's kind of newsy when an agent is out there, if not publicly stumping for an extension, at least publicly discussing his desire and expectation that one is going to get done. I don't know if the Cubs would respond similarly at this point.
Yeah, it's curious. You know, it's true that Theo was a lame duck until he signed in, what was that, late September of 2016. Bruce Levine texted me about this because I'd kind of forgotten that spot. But it's a little bit, it does feel different, doesn't it? I mean, although there was some, at least I remember a little bit of consternation and wonder about when and how that extension would get done, that felt like fait accompli at that point, didn't it? I mean,
yes.
There was never any worry because that's the architect of the Cubs' way. You know, I mean, it was never going to be bailed on. It was set on. And I think this does seem different because of a dismissal of coaches, because of a number of dismissal of coaches, though Allen didn't feel that way himself. And I guess to a certain degree, the question, I guess if we could have felt it out and narrowed it down a little bit more, it's just that you don't often see or it's hard to accept at face value the idea that, yeah, we'll just go through a season as a lame duck and everything will be fine because these two men, and it might be absolutely true that these two men are, you know, monuments to character and get the job doneness and committed to the task of 2019. That could be true. But I think there's a fair amount of wonder there about whether or not that can be done by any two people.
let's zoom out from your comment that you opened with about the coaches changing. The atmosphere of instability. If we just look at the number of things that have gone on, the coaching staff was completely purged a year ago. The hitting coach is gone again now.
Right.
We haven't had an announcement about the remainder of the coaching staff, which leads me to believe with Brandon Hyde interviewing and with maybe other coaches being available on some teams that are still playing, there may be people they want to talk to there, who knows?
To say nothing of front office people who have left and may be leaving here.
But
Bruce had the report about Jason McLeod being interviewed with the Giants.
The fact that they would be willing to bring their veteran manager back on the final year of a deal amid all of this instability means something. I think that's what I see from your point, is that there's been a lot of churn and at the coaching level, a lot. I mean, a crazy amount. Forget the number. Hitting coach. It was all new, like a new bench coach, new pitching coach, new hitting coach, and another new hitting coach. For them to not say, all right, look, we got to make a non-moving piece out of Joe Maddon here. They don't need to do it, because they don't have to do it, and they feel confident that at the moment they're not going to negotiate an extension. They don't have to negotiate.
I don't think Joe's the wrong guy for the job. I think Joe's proven to you that he's well worth the $6 million a year that you're paying him, and that he's one of the best managers in baseball. Has he gotten himself into some trouble with some tactical decisions? Yeah, every manager does. You're going to see that from guys who come down from the broadcast booth or guys who have been managing for dozens and dozens of years. And I wonder if Alan Nero meant it this way or not, but perhaps from his perspective, Nero's, you've got a change in coaches just because a manager's been around for a long time. You're going to have coaches leave. You're going to graduate guys to other benches and other jobs and higher paid positions. That just changes part of the agent getting the next gig for his client.
Brad is in Skokie. He's on the score. Hi, Brad.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Hi.
So I find it hard to believe that the Cubs would consider to not bring Maddon back. They've invested a lot of their team's personalities in getting to know him. And you guys have talked a lot about the window that this team has, maybe another 3 years. They're so close. And it's not a certainty that a change of coach will do anything. See the Nationals. I find this probably to be a tactic of establishing some urgency on Theo's part and maybe putting a little bit more pressure on the players. It's certainly not financial. They'll pay Joe whatever he wants to get paid, whenever he wants to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
But it's difficult for me to think about them believing that a change at the coaching top there will result in anything different. They're so close. I'm not sure this is what they want to tinker with.
Do you mean, Brad, that you thought it was unlikely that they'd get rid of him for this coming season or get rid of him after his contract is done?
Well, certainly not this season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, it came down to one game, and I'm not sure you can totally attribute that to Joe. I mean, if they win the division, I'm not sure anybody's talking about, you know, firing him. Sure, he makes questionable decisions and almost outmanaged the Cubs out of that title, but you can't argue with the rapport that he's established with these players, and that is just as much as important as any of these decisions that he makes in games, because to establish a new relationship with a coach, that's a feeling out process that could take 1, 2, 3 years. I mean, nothing is guaranteed, so I don't see why they wouldn't bring him back this year, and I can't see how they wouldn't bring him back the next couple of years.
Yeah, Brad, thanks for the phone call, man. I think there's an interesting point or two in there. I do think that the rapport that he's established and the clubhouse identity that he's helped engender is absolutely a net positive. I think that's something that the Cubs have wanted to create, that Theo and Jed and Jason wanted to create from the get-go. But it's not about just one game. You know, it's not the loss of 163. It's not the loss in the wild card that Theo was seeming upset about. He's upset about the loss of one game anywhere in the schedule. And you brought this up with Alan Nero. The point of emphasis in Theo's State of the Union address for 71 minutes was that urgency applies throughout the Major League Baseball calendar. It applies in March and April and May, whatever 4 or 5 games we're playing in March now. Each one of those was an opportunity to not have to play the one game where maybe you got outmanaged, or maybe you got out bullpen, or maybe you just got out hit in 163. Any one of those is just as important. That was Theo's point, and that's not been Joe's point for, or I guess that hasn't been Joe's thrust for the 2018 season. It's been Meatloaf.
2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Yeah.
The bottom of the hour was brought to you by Northwestern football coach Fitz and the Cats host Wisconsin on October 27th at Ryan Field. Limited tickets remain. Buy now at nusports.com. When we go back and listen to some of the things that Theo Epstein said about his relationship with Joe, about the fact that there is disagreement, and also point to what he said about Brandon Morrow, our lesson we learned is stick to structure. They had agreed, do not use him 3 days in a row. You don't really have to read between the lines to understand that Theo was unhappy about some of the things that happened, and he all but admitted that in his State of the Team address, and saying that that's natural, that they're happy to have Joe coming back, and some of these disagreements are a very healthy part of running a baseball team. But he wants the baseball team run a little bit differently. There's no doubt. And that's why I asked what I did about the personalities, and it does sound like that Joe and his agent are resigned to maybe old dogs learning some new tricks.
I think that's a good thing. Quite honestly, I think that's a good thing, and I don't think it's just that a front office, any front office in baseball, wants a team run differently. I think a front office might want things developed differently, might want players, you know, with given a little bit more emphasis on different aspects of their skill sets, on different ways to handle some of the ways the rest of the game is adapted to them. We've talked a lot about launch angles and swing change guys. I'm sure there's a decent application to the way the game is changing for some pitchers as well, but by and large, that bullpen was managed pretty well, even if it did run out of gas late. You know, I think in two ways, you've got a chance if you're Joe Maddon to change the approach a little bit and ratchet it in such a way that it'll really resonate with players. I mean, forget what we were talking about with just one game anywhere in the season mattering. You've got a chance to go into that clubhouse in Mesa in a couple of months and say, one more game is all you need. And then for that entire season, essentially look at your guys and go, that one wasn't the one. The next one is. The next one is the one that you've got to win. And that's a powerful motivating tool for a manager, even a guy like Joe, who is otherwise held a different tune.
It gets complicated, too, because when you have come up in an organization with a powerful front office where that particular balance, all the players know when the lineup comes out that the influence on that, if they know what people get paid. They know if it's an AJ Hinch. They know if it's a placeholder who is doing the bidding of the front office, and understand some of these new teams, that really good teams, really successful teams, have a guy there who's not there to have the con, so to speak. If there's a change, I don't think there are Cubs players that say, "Hey, Joe just kind of rolled over. This isn't like it. Joe's not really running the team anymore." You know, this the internal politics of this. Joe has to be allowed to be Joe if you're going to bring him back, because nobody wants to have him completely emasculated and have say, "Well, here's a lineup. I wouldn't have made this lineup, but this is, you know, this is what the pointy heads in the front office, they want this same lineup."
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that would ever happen.
I'm painting it very broadly.
Okay,
but when we're talking about Joe changing a little bit, or Joe adapting some of what he does, players know. Players are like, "Oh, that's new. That's different. Maybe this guy's, you know, working for Theo in a way that he wasn't before." You know, players, it's a workplace. You understand who's doing what for whom and who's in charge.
Isn't that kind of the interesting point of this team needing to establish itself or reestablish itself at its youthful core? You've got disappointing seasons from 4 or 5 guys that need to rebound. So in a way, should you change if you're Joe Maddon? Should you change the way you approach teaching this or teaching that or launch angle or high velocity or however you want to term it, moving the baseball?
Right.
You've got a receptive audience in that 4 or 5 players. You could look at 4 or 5 players and go, "You want that big contract? You know, you want to stay in this league? You want to be a starter? You any sorts of numbers of carrots that you want to dangle out in front of Happ or Contreras or Almora or Schwarber, or I mean, the list goes on. You can do that, and it's a unique situation the Cubs find themselves in, because those kind of changes can be made, all of them, to just influence the direction of development that these young kids have to get on.
Yeah, there were a couple moments in the interview when I chose to not make it more confrontational. There were a couple of things where I disagreed with Alan Near. I disagree that managerial salaries are cyclical. I don't think we're going to go back to high-powered, multi-million-dollar celebrity managers as part of a larger cycle.
It would depend on the responsibilities placed on the manager.
Yeah, there might be one or two, but I think we're seeing a secular change in the way baseball franchises are run, where I don't think we're going to go back to a manager who is more powerful than any general manager, or maybe on the margins here and there, certain cases, certain markets, guys will make a little bit more money, but I would disagree. The other thing with which I disagree is that somehow asking Joe Maddon whether he's read Addison Russell's ex-wife's blog is akin to asking a president how he's going to handle a foreign power before he has all that. It has nothing to do with how he wasn't asked how he's going to handle it. He was simply asked, did you read it?
Yeah, and no one was asking him to handle
correct.
Anything. I think the grasp of that interview would pretty, or that interview, that one or the one we did with him a couple of days later, completely understood that there's not a whole lot he can do other than the way he talks about the issue of domestic violence, which is something that Theo pointed out twice in his interviews, in press conferences, one before Joe spoke and one after. I mean, I think that was pretty well understood. And that's kind of why I asked Alan whether or not there needs to be an understanding within his clients or just people interviewed about domestic violence and some of the societal issues in general, whether or not grilling, what used to be viewed as grilling, is now kind of standard practice for how you ask questions about these things, because the underbelly of so many situations, not this one, but any other situation, whether it's the USA Gymnastics, whether it's Michigan State, it gets so horrifying.
The texters are being very weird. This one from the
that's new.
The 224. Dan, you are so off base. Joe saying 2 out of 3 ain't bad is post-series. He's not saying that going into games. I understand that. But even saying it after the fact,
still has an effect.
Correct. And Theo said 2 out of 3, not good enough. He specifically said winning 2 out of 3 when you could have gotten the sweep. That's the basis for the question.
Yeah, that felt meaningful to me at the time.
The philosophy of making it okay after the fact is not okay with the president of baseball operations.
It seems worth noting.
Yes.
It felt like that was worth bringing up to Alan.
When we come back, we have your second opportunity to win $1,000 in cash on the score ahead of Hub Arkish talking football at the top of the hour on Sports Radio 670 WSCR, The Score.
Bulls fans, it's Chuck Swirsky and Bill Winnington. This is where you want to be if you want to run with the Bulls.
Right to the lane, the lead pass, Holiday with a left-handed dunk.
Listen to every game here. Plus, it's where Bernstein and McKnight talk Bulls ball. Middays, 9 a.m. to 1. Right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's official.
What if every time you went out, you could cash in? Now with the Capital One Saver Card, you earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment. Like learning more about each other on your first date.
You play the oboe.
Or discovering they can't hit the high notes at your favorite karaoke bar. Oh, yeah! No matter your reason for going out, now you have 4 more. Introducing the new Saver Card from Capital One. Earn 4% on dining and 4% on entertainment. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Capital One Bank, USANA.
Holy underwear. Guys, we know that's what a lot of you are wearing because it's a hassle to buy new ones, but not at briefbuy.com. Briefbuy.com makes it easy and quick for you to get out of the holes. Shop Hanes, Champion, plus trend-setting new brands like Cool Clothes at briefbuy.com. And they're dealing. Buy 3 super comfy Cool Clothes breathable modal boxer briefs and get one free while supplies last. Don't wait. Shop briefbuy.com now. That's briefbuy.com to get the boys some air. Briefbuy.com is a Chicagoland company.
Saturdays at 8 a.m. Don't miss Sports Medicine Weekly. Fitness, nutrition, and injury prevention and treatments for today's weekend warrior and professional athletes. With renowned specialist of shoulders, elbows, and knees and chief doctor for Midwest Orthopedics at Rush, Dr. Brian Cole, along with other health and fitness leaders and your host, Steve Cashel.
We know the operation works. You lose time by trying non-surgical treatment, so we're going to pull the trigger sooner than we used to, say, 15, 20 years ago.
Sports Medicine Weekly, Saturdays at 8 a.m. here on 670 The Score.
Do you know how old your water heater is? Most water heaters only last about 10 years, and 70% of all water heaters get replaced in an emergency. That's not exactly convenient. What is convenient is that the Home Depot has the most advanced Rheem water heaters with the latest technology. If yours is about 10 years old, it's time for an upgrade. And time to get a Rheem water heater. Peace of mind included. Now that's convenient. Only from the Home Depot. More saving, more doing.
State Farm, Robert here.
Robert, somebody burned down my she shed.
No one burned down your she shed, Cheryl.
Oh, really, Victor? Because my she shed's burning up in the backyard.
Your she shed was struck by lightning, Cheryl.
Robert, does State Farm cover my she shed?
What's a she shed?
She turned our shed into her hideaway, Robert.
Oh, yeah, that's covered.
You hear that, Victor? I'm getting a new she-shear she shed.
Can we stop saying she shed now?
Go with the one that's here to help life go right. State Farm. Talk to an agent today.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670. Bernstein and McKnight. Middays, 9 a.m. to 1.
The Cubs season is no more. When Theo said what he said about Brandon Morrow.
Yeah.
About procedure and process and sticking to the plan and not pitching him three games in a row. That's him publicly calling out a managerial decision that may have resulted in an injury. We know that nobody was happy about how Pedro Strop got hurt and what went into that decision. That's just true. And that happens in some of these relationships. The front office doesn't always agree. They've got a manager who's 64 years old and set in his ways and a complete megastar in baseball. And they're not necessarily going to have a push-button situation with somebody who's their hand-picked youngster they've given an opportunity. They were very unhappy with that.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays, 9 a.m. to 1. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Bernstein and McKnight. Middays, 9 a.m. to 1.
The Cubs season is no more. When Theo said what he said about Brandon Morrow.
Yeah.
About procedure and process and sticking to the plan and not pitching him three games in a row. That's him publicly calling out a managerial decision that may have resulted in an injury.
Bernstein and McKnight. Middays, 9 a.m. to 1. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
A license and dock fee.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score
and 670thescore.com.
Chicago Sports Station.
This all happened because Ken Rosenstein wrote an article that said that there was a problem.
Rosenstein, Rosenthal, they're all the same. They all look alike. It is time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on The Score. This hour's keyword is weekend. Text weekend to 72881 by the end of the hour. And not Bruno Mars, weekend. The keyword is weekend to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please don't text and drive. Message and data rates may apply.
Still spelled with the vowels, though, right?
Correct.
We're not shorting anyone on vowels.
The actual word weekend, not the performer, the weekend.
Nothing tops yesterday. I never know what those keywords are, and it was juice, and I came back with juicy.
That I thought you had done it on purpose.
No,
because you were like this. I thought you were looking for credit for like.
No, Jay handles those. Okay. I don't handle those at all.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Then that was just dumb luck, I guess. I was going to give you plenty of credit and say, oh, look at Rick Camp working there on that. More importantly, the world wants to know, how was the pumpkin patch?
Oh, the pumpkin patch, the pumpkin patch. The French. The French. Yeah, so, you know, it was It was all part of a trip, right? It was all kind of a whole thing. We rented a van, a U-Haul, to go pick these things
what?
Up. Yeah, so we were picking up a couple of things. We'd go out to the burbs to pick up a table that we need. So I'm getting a table.
This is for your girlfriend's
back.
Pumpkin yeah. decoration
so she's
fall
having
party.
A pumpkin carving extravaganza.
Okay, and what pumpkin patch did you
Well, we were just going to go. Well, you told me about the Jewel. You just
yes.
go to the Jewels
yes. yeah, go
and
buy
pick up
Jewels
your file or pumpkins. Yeah. So I thought to myself, self, that seems like the way to do it. And for a less expense. Now, she did mention, Dan, that I was to clear up a couple of things about our conversation regarding the pumpkins yesterday. She wanted me to make it very clear that at no point would she make her friends pay for pumpkins. She's happy to pop for the pumpkins.
Okay.
So wanted that out there. And that there will not be a plurality of brain surgeons attending the event.
Okay.
Instead, just one.
A plethora?
Maybe two brain surgeons.
Okay.
Wait. So that's happening too.
One is minimum mandatory.
Either way, well, at these kind of events, yeah, you would imagine. Either way, my pumpkin carving skills will be put to shame.
And pumpkin
as
scarving.
Will my English skills, apparently. General
you
speaking
thought this
ability.
This was a pumpkin carving extravaganza. It is not. It is a pumpkin scarving extravaganza. We will be putting scarves on pumpkins.
Which is very difficult to do. You have to find the neck and the scarf. Bottom line is, we ended up not being able to... Do you have any idea how difficult it is, apparently, to rent a U-Haul online?
No.
It's impossible! The thing wouldn't load, and we couldn't get the... And you just sent us through loops.
How about multiple trips to the Jewel, then?
Well, I don't own a car.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. I don't drive a car. Yeah, I do. I have a horse-drawn wagon.
No, like a little
laid up in
like a little
sticks.
Red wagon.
Just walking it back and forth like a scene from E.T.
Yeah.
Most U-Haul places also have phone numbers that you can call to speak to a person directly.
I did. I called that number. The guy literally
said, one Fullerton, like Fullerton and Racine. Is
yeah,
that
we
still
were on the
U-Haul
one.
Place?
Okay. There is. There's one right there. I entered one that they removed. We were on Halstead and Erie, I think is where that was. Something like that. It's a little bit closer to, the River North area. Anyway, called that number, sat on hold for 35 minutes because the whole thing wouldn't work. Anyway, we get the van, we drive out there, and forgot about the pumpkins altogether. So now...
What?
I have a second trip.
So the trip was to pick up a table?
Yeah, it was a table, and then return some things, and then pick up more things. I was the driver. I was the wheelman, Dan. That's really all I was here.
Okay.
Just the wheelman. So now I have a second trip scheduled to go get pumpkins.
You're having the most basic week ever.
This is between now and the Friday night extravaganza.
Saturday
night.
I have it written down somewhere because, Dan, I want to be very clear. I'm thrilled and excited to be attending and a part of this event.
I read the statement already. I have a copy of it. Mitch emailed it to everybody. Yes, I have.
Hey, Alan Nero,
I have received the official statement of your.
I'm not making this
excitement.
A thing. You're making this a thing. Is it this guy, right?
I think it's going to be the management of the alcohol intake that is going to define your level of enjoyment.
And I think your usage of the word management is much, much, much too conservative for the intake.
I'm just like, if it depends. Like, if you start around 4, when does Wisconsin play?
Wisconsin, I don't know. I've written that off. That's barely part of my life anymore.
Is there something scheduled, or are they actually going to play?
They might not. They play. They've got Illinois, right? Isn't this the Illinois? No, Penn State. It's Penn State this weekend. Oh no, I'm on the wrong week.
The 414 says Uber XL next time, genius.
And does that work? Is that
the 815 doesn't own a car. Don't they pay you guys? Yet he chooses not to.
Yeah,
own
I
a
have
car.
Chosen to go
it's,
without
it's not
a car.
That he can't have a car.
It's working out okay. You don't realize how much you don't miss it until you have to do like the convenience thing.
So you have to get your kid to hockey.
He's still.
It's kind of nice to
chuck it all in the back of the driver.
Walk.
Well, yeah, if you have kids, you have to get a
You're
car,
walking to Fox Valley. I am.
Bring your skates.
Go to Dyer, Indiana. Bring your goalie gear.
What?
Find a way there.
You can't do that. He's not driving yet. Yeah. You can't just. I feel like hockey kids should be able to get their licenses earlier.
They've got so much crap.
Then
you don't know hockey kids.
Just give them licenses and let them drive around.
Now, luckily, my daughter is permit eligible, but just doesn't want to.
Well, savor that while you can, bud. That's not going to last long.
That is awesome.
That is not. So there is a. You're being saved, and you need it too, because your levels of existential dread, constant levels of existential dread, are high as it is.
Correct.
So you're being saved this number.
Yeah, and also just the fact that she would wreck the car getting it out of the garage. I mean, I would have to have permanently the car would like never, because my garage is not easy to get into generally.
Oh, you got one of those.
It's an alley. It's like a hard 90-degree thing with multiple
readjust.
Backups and turns, and I've got it. Even like, my wife hates doing it. Like, if we're parking in the small garage, no matter what, she has me come out and park the car. And I'm going to have to cover the whole thing in Nerf balls before my daughter's able to get it out of there.
It's got to be a less expensive way to do that. Pumpkins. Try pumpkins.
Pumpkins.
Only $5 at the Jewel.
I'm just going to get her like a Nerf car. Do they make that?
Yes. It's got the tail on the end and it whistles when it drives.
That's fine. If they can make Nerf car, then I'll get that. But I always tell myself, if my sister could drive, my daughter can drive. If my sister can drive.
How's that? Are you buying that? But she kind of feels like you're not buying.
Well, because she was in an accident every week. We were just making sure she didn't kill anybody.
Yeah, I know somebody.
I mean, terrible sense of direction.
Awful.
And horribly distracted.
Mm-hmm.
And just bounced her way from one place to another.
Horribly distracted or willfully distracted?
All of it. You just hope that you got there without the airbags blowing up because she would bump into anything and everything.
As I'm driving this U-Haul van back, I realize there is a gauge on this thing that tells you where your fuel consumption is good. Where it's bad.
And where Shane Reardon is.
That's the other side of the console. Yes.
All U-Haul vehicles.
It just bleeps. It dings. It's a whole, yeah.
Equipped with a Shane proximity alert.
So there's this large slice. It's a circular gauge. And there's a large slice of pie on the top that says your fuel consumption is good. And there's a smaller slice of pie. You know, when you get up to a riveting speed of 32 miles an hour, where it's just all red with very small slivers of green. And I'm trying to keep this thing in the green because now I'm playing a game with myself as I'm driving. I'm trying to keep the fuel consumption right. And I realize, okay, this is not good. I am distracted. I am not doing this right. I should keep my eyes on the road. I look in front of me and there is an Uber and Lyft driver, you know, he's got the both stickers.
Yeah.
Watching a movie on an iPad that is set up on his dashboard.
Yep.
On 290.
That guy's in front of me all the time.
At 8:15 at night. How is that safe?
It's not.
How are you allowed to get into
watching movies while driving?
It's crazy to me.
Yep. I've seen it. Not the movie. I've seen that happen.
Seen that movie.
The top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Coach Collins and Northwestern Basketball return to the new Welsh Ryan Arena on November 2nd. Season tickets on sale at nusports.com. Matt Nagy has announced Khalil Mack is day to day.
Go Bears!
Ooh. He'll play.
You think? Because they don't have to list him on anything yet. We don't have to know limited participation,
full
participation.
That's 4 or 5 o'clock tonight.
At the moment, they don't have to list it. I guess we'll know relatively soon.
Right.
But Khalil Mack, day to day.
Could have had worse news.
Aren't we all? So Hub Arkish will talk to us about the Bears and the NFL coming up next on The Score.
Hey, Danny Parkins here from the McNeil and Parkins Show, afternoons 1 to 6. Up next for Mitch Trubisky and the 3-2 Bears, the New England Patriots. I've heard of them. If the Bears are for real, we're going to find out this week, and we're covering it right up to game time, so keep it here on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago.
This is firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs, introducing the new Firehouse Pub Steak Sub with savory steak, crispy fried onions, and our rich Belgian beer cheese sauce. On tap for a limited time. Order yours at firehousesubs.com today. Remember, a portion of every sub you buy helps provide life-saving equipment for first responders. Firehouse Subs, enjoy more subs, save more lives. Limited time only, plus tax, participating locations. Firehouse Subs will donate a minimum of $1 million in 2018 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.13% of every purchase.
State Farm, this is Bill.
It finally got me, Bill.
What's that, Rick?
The Clark Street crater, the mother of all potholes.
Oh.
Yeah, year after rim-wrecking year, it's tormented the people of this town. They try to fill it, but it always returns. It got me good.
But you know, State Farm's got you too.
You hear that? You ain't nothing!
You trash-talking a pothole?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Go with the one that's here to help life go right. State Farm. Talk to an agent today.
Party under the big pink top with Komen Chicago on October 27th at CineSpace Movie Studios as we raise crucial dollars to fund life-saving breast health services and invest in breakthrough research to prevent and cure breast cancer. Tickets available at KomenChicago.org.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
The McNeil and Parkin Show, afternoons 1 to 6.
Joe Maddon coming back for next season. While I would have trusted Theo to make the decision if they were going to fire him, Joe wasn't the problem this year.
No.
He wasn't.
He's human. He's made mistakes. There have been some tactical mistakes. Some I don't follow the sabermetrics like Joe Sheehan or a lot of other people who was very rough on the Cubs skipper yesterday. But, given some of the issues he had to deal with, I think he did a fine job this year. More than a fine. When I say fine, I mean like fine food. He did that good of a job where he should be applauded more than he's condemned.
He probably didn't do enough for an extension
Correct.
Either.
So lame duck. And that's what they're doing.
Exactly.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6.
Like, if the players really are still bought in on Joe and still really like Joe, you're obviously not going to say anything different when you just were eliminated
that would
from the playoffs.
That would be, you know, different if someone said something different, than especially after scoring two runs in back-to-back important games. two runs collectively.
2 runs total, right. Rizzo comes out after the game and he's
22
like...
22 innings for 2 runs.
I know. It would have been something, though. Rizzo calls all the guys over to the locker. He's like, you know what the problem was? We didn't have a mime. We didn't have a petting zoo. We didn't have a magician. Joe is slipping. Get him out of here.
Yeah, the inflatable doll. The white, borrow the inflatable doll the White Sox used a few years back.